Go to chapter 3. I want you to look at this a minute. He said, I know the works. You're neither cold nor hot, but you're lukewarm. And he had some pretty strong things to say about those who were lukewarm. He says, if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. That's pretty strong words, isn't it? He says, because, and this is why, you sayeth I'm rich, I'm increased with goods, have need of nothing, and you knowest not, you're wretched, poor, naked, and blind. Now, the legalistic churches love verses like that. They love to hammer people. But he was really upset with them. It was because they built their whole life on self-sufficiency. He says, I didn't have need of nothing. I got this. Same thing Pastor Chuck was talking about with Shebnam. They were self-sufficient, but you did not turn to the Lord. You were doing everything you should do, but you never turned to the Lord. You were doing it. He wasn't. God's always, when you walk with God, is going to keep you in a place, in a state of dependency, even when you're highly blessed in favor of the Lord. That's part of him, to keep you in a state of dependency. If you're in a situation right now, in a state of dependency, you should thank God, because that's keeping you attached to him. It's very easy to grow cold in this hour. The worst is to go lukewarm. Think, I got it together. It's a very dangerous place, but nobody knows or believes they're in that dangerous place. Better just to be hot. So I want to look, Church of Philadelphia again, I want to look at the Key of David, and I'm going to tie the Church of Philadelphia in the day with the white horse of Revelation chapter 6. Now listen, chapter 1, John saw the Lord dwelling in the midst of the candlestick. The first revelation of that lampstand, he saw the lampstand, he saw the Lord dwelling in the midst of it in his glorified state. And he said, this lampstand, these seven candles you're looking at are the seven churches. And then in chapter 2, verse 1, when he's speaking of the church of Ephesus, the Lord began not only to dwell in the midst of the lampstand, he began to walk in the midst of the lampstand. And in the midst of the lampstand, when he was walking, he was inspecting all of the churches. He had many things to say about all seven. Most of them were correction and rebuke. He wasn't happy with very many of them all. All of them received correction and rebuke except one. He had no correction for the Church of Philadelphia. He had no rebuke for them. Everyone else was corrected. Everyone else was rebuked. So in essence, he was walking, looking for something when he was walking in the midst of the lampstand, because he didn't understand when John received this revelation. This was in the latter part of his life. All the revivals had passed and he was on the Isle of Patmos. So he's looking at something in the future. The Lord was walking in the midst of his churches because he was getting ready to do something again. And he was looking for a church that was worthy, say worthy. Even though it's by grace, it was a church that's worthy to receive something. Because he was about to give his very, very best. Amen? So let's look at this again in chapter 3 of Revelation, verse 6. And to the angel of the church, verse 7 of Philadelphia, write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that had the key of David. You want to underline that and say, I know you've taught on that, but I'm going to teach it in a brand new way today. He says, him had the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. I know your works. Behold, I've set before you an open door. Oh, you're going to love that door. And no man could shut it. Thou hast had little strength. You've had little dunamis power, but you've used it to what? Keep my word. The one thing that this church did more than anything else, more than anything that they set their focus and attention on, they kept his word. In fact, he said it twice. In the next couple of verses, he said it again. You've kept the word of my patience. Because you've kept the word of my patience, I'm going to keep you from the hour of temptation that's coming upon the earth. Because he said, I set before you an open door by the key of David. He goes, so I'm setting an open door by the key of David, right? And then he says, right after that, he says, because you've kept my word, I'm going to keep you from the hour of the temptation coming on the earth. So we kind of use the analogy of these two poles here. One of them is where he opened the door for them. I'm going to open a door, set before you open a door, and there's going to be a time of space between that open door until the time he says, I'm going to keep you from the hour of temptation coming on the earth. So whatever this door was, It was only going to last temporarily, but what was going to come through it was like nothing anybody ever seen. In fact, he says, he goes on to say in verse 11, behold, I come quickly. So notice the terminology. I'm going to open a door, but then I'm coming quickly. When it says I come quickly, it means I'm coming to get you. You're not going to be here for what's after that. So this door was a quick door. But God said in Isaiah 60, speaking of the final light, he said, I'm going to hasten this in its day. I'm going to hasten it. Say, hasten it. God can pour more through in one day than we can pour through in a lifetime. God can change the world. Azusa Street, which affected the entire world, though it lasted about 6 to 7 years, most of what came through Azusa Street was in 2 year period. Went to 50 nations just like that. Out of an abandoned feed barn. When God gets ready, it comes through. Amen. Nobody could shut that door. Even there was all kinds of stuff going on in Azusa. We all hear about the good stuff, but there was a lot of stuff out of order there. There was controlling spirits everywhere. There was all kinds of things going on. There was all kinds of familiar spirits in operation. Trying to shut it down, but it didn't stop, because when God opens the door, every one of us, if you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, it came out of that movement. He's going to restore Azusa Street. He doesn't need to restore Azusa Street. Azusa Street's been restored. We're going to another level. We got the Holy Ghost. We're going up. Hallelujah. Don't go back. We're going forward. You got what they gave. We're running upon those men's lives. Amen. We have another door that's about to open. Twice he said, you've kept my word. That's why they were chosen for the key of David. That's why they were chosen for the open door. That's why they were chosen to do a quick work in the earth. There was an open door. And then whatever was in that key, which we'll find out today, flooded through that door, and then behold, I'm coming quickly. Right after I open the door, I'm coming quickly. Watch for me right after the door. It's not going to be very long, and I'm going to come and get you, and I'm going to preserve you from the hour of temptation. You're not going to live in that time. That is a church that absolutely will not go through the tribulation period. It will escape it. We are part of that church. Hallelujah. With that in mind, go to Isaiah 22. I'm glad Pastor Chuck already taught into this. That was good stuff. So let's go right to verse 20. Shall come to pass in that day, I'll call my servant Eliakim. So he's foreshadowing Christ, because we know Christ inherited that key, because he's the one that opened the door for the church of Philadelphia. He says, I'll clothe him with thy robe and strengthen him with thy girdle. I'll commit thy government to his hand. I'm going to give your government, your operation, your robe, the office of treasury, I'm going to give it to him. And, verse 22, and. See, the key of David was actually an and. Say A-N-D. He already said, I'm going to give him your government. Shebna, I'm going to give him your robe, your girdle. I'm going to give him your office of treasury. We've been talking about the key of David being just a treasury key, but actually that's been expanded, praise the Lord. Now notice what he says, and. I'm going to give you this, and I'm going to give you that. I'm going to give him this and that. Amen. Now notice the wording here. Very important that you get the wording. Verse 22. He didn't say the key of David. He said the key of what? The house of David. House of David. And the key of the house of David I will lay upon his shoulder. Now the house of David is a little different than your and I's house. Back then, he was a ruling monarchy. His house spanned thousands of years. There was a lot going on in his house. When you talk about a lord's house or a king's house, it's their government. It's their house for thousands of years to come. It's the preservation of the house. What was in that house? What was in that government? What all was in that house is what's in that key. What's in that key was open for the Church of Philadelphia. So if you understand what's in the key, you'll understand what's in the, if you understand what's in the house, you'll understand what's in the key. If you understand what's in the key, you'll understand what's about to come through the door. Amen. Notice he said, he goes, the key of this house I'm going to lay upon his, what? Shoulders. This was actually referenced. And Isaiah 9, he says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son has been given, and the government, what? Shall be upon his shoulder. See, he received the government. The key of the house of David was the government of David. It included, encompassed all things throughout all the history of his house. Christ being born received all of it. Everything that they did from David and Solomon and all the kings that followed, everything that was implemented was foreshadowing a heavenly house, which Christ was building. Amen. But he received it all. He's going to turn around and give it all back. All of that was foreshadowing what he's going to do again. Amen. He's the key of the house of David. Will be upon his shoulder. Notice this, verse 7. In the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom. I'll order it and I will establish it. Again, right there, speaking of Christ receiving that, okay? And of course, Daniel sees him when he ascends up before the Ancient of Days. He sees the Son of God ascend. He said, they're giving him the kingdom and a glory and a power. He receives the dominion of the ages. Now, I want to look a minute at the house, say house of David. Or the government of David. What was all in that house? Because this one single key opens that entire house. So the first thing that that house was it was a kingly house. A reigning monarchy. From David to Solomon and all the kings of dominion, authority, justice, judgment. All of that was given. It wasn't there. Saul could have began, but Saul miserably failed the Lord, and David began the house. It was the house of David. Actually, it started in Mount Hebron, and it moved to Jerusalem. First thing, it was a kingly house. All of that is in the key. All of that inheritance, all of that history, all of that DNA, all of that is inside that key. Second, it's a house of salvation for Jew and Gentile. You see this under Solomon. When he built the temple, he opened that temple to the world. He had the manifest Shekinah glory in that temple. It said all of the peoples of the earth came to hear Solomon's wisdom. It said all the kings of the earth came to hear Solomon's wisdom. And Solomon said, if a stranger prays in this house, if they come, Father, let your eyes be upon this house, hear their prayer, that they may know you're the living God. Queen of Sheba was a heathen queen. She came into the house. She came into the glory. The house of David had that glory. Say glory. That glory was on that house. David's the one that prepared it for Solomon. He prepared the priesthood. He prepared the singers. He prepared the money. He had the plans on the, he went up to the mountain. God gave him all the plans. I mean, he's handed all to Solomon. Say, you build it. It's all yours. I did all the work for you. In my trouble, I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold and 1,000,000 talents of silver. Are you ready for that? Most scholars believe a talent's anywhere from 65 pounds to 120 pounds. Most of them believe it's 75 pounds is a talent. 100,000 talents times 75 is 7.5 million pounds of gold. He says, in my trouble, I have prepared for the house of the Lord. Not even counting the silver, said it was such an abundance in the days of Solomon, it laid on the side of the streets like stones. Solomon used gold. He overlaid the big Jerusalem foundation stones. Some of them are 25 feet by 100 feet long. He overlaid them in pure gold underneath the temple. David prepared all that for him. All that was part of the house. When the queen of Sheba came, she heard his wisdom. Heathen queen converted right there. mass conversion going on, where there was wisdom and there was glory and there was wealth and it was the display, and all of this was the house, say the house. There was salvation. In other words, the house of wisdom and revelation. We see this book of Proverbs coming out of David, coming out of Solomon. Book of Proverbs, we see the Psalms. It was a house of arts, poetry, Psalms. Coming out of David, songs coming out, Proverbs coming out. All that was part of the house. House of wisdom. House of revelation. They weren't just ruling. They were ruling under God's ordained mantle of authority and power and revelation. They were doing it God's way. All that was part of his house. Amen? Here's another one. It was a house of commerce. Under King Solomon, David won all that out of the spoils of the battle. He was a man of war, but he conquered the earth. I mean, he conquered everything. He got all that wealth and gave it to Solomon. But Solomon used it. He created a stock exchange right in the middle of Jerusalem. It became what? A house of commerce. God ordained commerce where glory was present, where it was sanctioned and ordained. Not like when they were selling the doves. Well, the Lord came into the house and didn't like it. This was something God instituted. It was part of his house. It was part of their monarchy. A stock exchange where all the kings would come and do business. International business was done under that house. International commerce was done out of that house. Solomon had a naval fleet. Did you know that? Whose sole solitary job was to go out in all the world and collect all the treasures of the earth to bring them to Jerusalem. And did a study on Solomon's house, all the wealth, and converted when they would say olive oil, or they would say a measure of this, a measure of that. I spent 3 months converting everything that was going on in Solomon's house to modern day. It's pretty amazing. Solomon had a daily food bill. This was 1996 figures. I imagine it's a lot more now. But his daily food bill in 1996, the way I figured it, I mean, I'd call grocery stores. I'd call everything. How much is a pint, a quart of olive oil? I need to know. What if I bought that on wholesale? How much would it be? Calculate, calculate, calculate. $30,000 a day. You think that's a lot of money? He had 1,000 wives. You had to feed them, clothe them, jewelry. Listen to this. It was a house of 24 hours, 7 day a week worship. I call this the Asaph government. In the constitution you have, in the worship section, you'll read all about it. He employed 288 singers under Asaph and his three sons and Haman, or Haman, and 288 singers and musicians that would sing the song of the Lord. Now, this was a different part of the house. You had the kingly house. Now check this, with the priestly house, a full-time priestly element, 24 hours, 7 day a week, worship, singers and musicians. He employed the best out of the land. He had 288 and he ran them by shifts. And they would be in charge of the song and the music, and it never stopped. David was a musician himself, so he loved music. So he had all of Jerusalem filled with worship all the time. See, he just wasn't running a monarchy. He was running a king-priest government. Amen? Because David was a king and a priest. Solomon was a priest. He'd come up before the Lord, and he would ascend into the glory where you couldn't even see him anymore. A king. And the kings of the earth would come and watch him do it. Queen of Sheba saw him ascend into the glory of God. She said, I have no more spirit left in me. I've never seen anything like this. Everything was a state of absolute excellence. Excellence everywhere. The glory of God was creating this excellence everywhere. And it was there. It was 24 hours, 7 days a week. Ran under Asaph, the Asaph government of worship. Oh, that's in our constitution. It's part of the house. See, it's part of the house. Then he had the house of priests. We had 4,000 priests. You'll read about 1 Chronicles 25 about the singers. 1 Chronicles 23, they employed 4,000 priests under Zadok. That's called the Zadok priesthood. Different than a regular priesthood because he was administrating. He was a high priest ministering over a kingly anointing. Amen. So Zadok was administrating over 4,000 priests. They were running around the clock. You had the kingly element. You had the priestly element. You had the wisdom. You had the revelation. You had the song. You had the worship. You see it? Oh, that's the house of David. Song and poetry and arts. All of this was part of the house. So when he says the key of the house of David, I'm going to lay upon his shoulders. He inherited, all that was actually foreshadowing what Christ was going to inherit in the right hand of God. All that's going on there now. He inherited all that. Amen. Now he says in the book of Haggai chapter 2, the glory, once again, I'm going to shake the heavens, the earth, sea and dry land. The treasures of all nations are coming into what? My house. Silver is mine, gold is mine, and the glory of the latter-day house is what? Greater than the former. That was David and Solomon. That was the actual house of Solomon. But this glory was going to be greater. But it never has happened yet. Not the fullness of it. We had the full priestly element released in the early church. But he's reserved not only the priestly element, but the kingly element too for the last days. Even though it's a short window, the world's going to see it. Now it's interesting, Zechariah chapter 6, because we talk about Zechariah's prophecies, all of his prophecies for the latter days. He talks about these three men coming out of Babylon, and they come up out of Babylon, and they bring in the silver with them. He says, now take it into the house and forge a crown with the wealth of Babylon. And so they take this wealth and they forge not one crown, but crowns, plural. He said, now put that crown on the head of Joshua, which was the high priest. Crown him as a prophetic act. Because, and say this, he says, in the crowning of it, you're going to bring forth my servant, the branch. He's going to be a priest crowned in a king's throne. The priest sits upon the king's throne. That's awesome. See the king-priest element? Meaning, I'm going to do this again. I'm going to take a church. I'm going to tell you, now these churches can be predominant priests, but I'm going to crown them and set them on a king's throne. This is going to happen literally with a church. And he says this, verse 13 of Zechariah 6, you don't have to go there, I'll just read it to you. Even he shall build, now I'm going somewhere with all this. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord. He shall bear the glory of it. He shall sit and rule upon his throne. He shall be a priest upon a king's throne. And the council of harmony and peace will be between the two offices. All right? Right now, the church is presently in priestly mode. Apostolic priestly mode. That's going to shift. Amen? In a major, major way. How many of you are with me so far? Now, he said, this is going to happen. Now, he did this with Christ. He's made us kings and priests, but he's going to activate that. Now, when you say the key to the house of David being a ruling monarchy, a kingly house, is represented by what? What is it? A crown. The crown is the symbolic. It's the symbol of the entire house. When you take an heir and you put a crown on him, all the authority, all the dominion, all the weight of that entire house, from history to fast forward to future, is upon that one that's been crowned. The crown is all things. Say the crown is all things. Now, the Holy Spirit gave me a definition of a crown yesterday, and it's very important you put crown in your head right now, or put a crown on your head. All right? The crown, the symbol of a ruling monarchy governed by constitution. This is what a crown means. The symbol of a ruling monarchy governed by constitution, exercising dominion, authority, power, victory, rule of law, order, and financial legitimacy. The symbol of a ruling monarchy governed by constitution, exercising dominion, authority, power, victory, commerce, rule of law, order, and financial legitimacy. Fast forward, let's go back to the book of Revelation chapter 3. Now, crown and crowns is mentioned throughout the book of Revelation. The Lord was crowned with many crowns. He said he had many crowns in Revelation 19. Even the Antichrist talked about having crowns. Say, having crowns. He wasn't given a crown. He said he had crowns. The difference between given a crown and having a crown. Okay? He had crowns, and he had seven of them. Isn't that amazing? Antichrist had seven crowns because he's trying to steal, imitate, counterfeit everything the Lord does, because he knows the perfection of God is seven. That's why he had seven. But he had them. They weren't given to him. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. Let's go back to our original chapter. Now, when it says the key of the house of David, everything I just talked about as that house was in one single key. When he gives the key and he opens the door, everything about that house, from David all the way to Christ, everything about that house, everything under the shadow, everything Christ inherited comes through that key. It comes through that door. Bam. The whole house comes through. Because it's not just the key of David, it's the key of the house of David. So everything God did for thousands of years is going to come through a door. Like Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, the angel of the church in Philadelphia. These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key, and you can say, of the house of David. Because he's inherited in fullness now. Fullness. And he has openeth, that's why no man can shut it. When he opens this thing, it has supreme dominion and authority, just like Solomon did on the earth. Solomon was the finest example under the shadow of what is to come. Nothing touched what Solomon did. There was such an exceeding grace and favor upon that whole era. What a glorious time to have lived in. The Queen of Sheba said, I saw your attendants of your cupbearers and your priests and your singers and the ascent by which you went up into the glory of God. And I heard your wisdom and to see it with my own eyes. See, but God's not going to do it with one now. He's going to do it with a company. Amen. He's going to do it with a church. What he did then, he took a king and he created a priesthood. What he's doing now, he's going to take a priesthood and he's going to set him back on a king's throne. You see that? He's going to take a church and he's going to give them the house of David, the key to that house. Revelation 3 verse 7. He says, the key of the house of David, he that opened and no man shut, he that shut and no man opened. I know your works. Behold, what? I've set before you the open door. I have the key of the house of David, and I open and no man can shut it, and I have set it. Say, I've set it. He wasn't to say, I'm going to open it. He goes, I am opening it for you. I set before you the open door. I've been walking amongst the lampstands, looking for the one that I was going to give the final light to. Looking for the church that I was going to give the final glory to. One that encompassed all the glory of the past. One that encompassed the full glory of the right hand. One that encompassed the entire way to the king priest government. I'm going to take the key of the house of David and I'm going to give it to you and I'm going to set that door. And what's going to come through that door is the full weight of the house. The king priest house. The king priest government is going to come through that door. I'm going to bring it through the door. What do you think, by the way, the word is that they were keeping? King priest government? We're keeping a king priest government. He's talking about a king priest government, a key that opens the whole king priest government. The history of David and Solomon and the kings are in this thing. The worship, the wisdom, the wealth, the power, the glory, the right hand of God, all the elements, the testimony. They were keeping, this church was keeping a word that Jesus was walking in the midst of the lampstands. He was walking up in the midst of the lampstands. Walking in the midst of the lampstands. You can look at him walking throughout America, throughout the world. What's he looking for? Nope. Whatever he liked, he said it twice. They kept my word. They kept my word. They took the strength that God gave them. They had little dunamis power. They took the only strength God gave them and they used it for one thing. They focused it to the people they didn't want to hear anymore. They said it. They said, don't say it no more. And they said it again. They kept a word. And then he comes with the very key that represents that word. He says, the key to that whole house, I set before you the open door now. Verse 10, because you've kept the word of my patience, I will keep you from the hour of temptation that's coming on the world. I'm going to open a door, and in that door is the entire house of David. So whatever he's going to do is going to be between these two pillars. He's going to open that door, and the entire house, the entire government, everything we describe is coming down through that door. Coming through it. And then he goes, behold, verse 11, I'm coming quickly, by the way. So when I open the door, don't think you're going to be in there forever because I'm coming to get you and I'm going to keep you from the hour after that pillar. So whatever you're going to do is between the two pillars, but you're not going to do it. I'm going to do it because it's not by might, not by power, but it's by my spirit. This thing is reserved for a people that know that I'm God. This thing is reserved for a people that are utterly dependent upon me. Notice the next verse, verse 11. There's a lot packed up in this verse. What is the key of the house of David is what? Ruling monarch, all that. Symbolized by what? A crown. He says, behold, I come quickly. Hold fast. Because he's already opened the door for them, right? It's already flowing. The crown has been given. Hold fast what you have. Say, hold fast what you have. Not going to be given it. I have it. Notice the next verse. Let no man take your crown. What crown do you think he's talking about? Now, he promised to the church in chapter 2, the church of Smyrna, he says, I'm going to give you a crown, but that's after you die and go into heaven. Hold fast to the end, I'm going to give you a crown. But this church was given, that's the crown of the overcomer. But this church had a different crown because they were giving it to them while they're in the earth. It said, hold fast what you have. What did they have? They had the key of David. They gave him a crown. Now hold that crown. Don't lose it. Keep it until I get back. Behold, I come quickly. Run with that race. Run with that crown because what gave them the authority, when the key of David opened that door, he put a crown on that church. He took that church. This is Zechariah 6. He took a church. He walked in the midst of the church. He found one, said, that'll do right there. And he took a church and he crowned a church with a kingly anointing. And he put the whole government of David on him. He said, keep it. Now I'm giving it to you. I'm going to come back quickly. What I'm going to do is I'm going to do a quick work. But you better keep what I give you. Because I'm giving you the crown here. This was not a crown of the overcomer. This was a crown they get here. Say here. Hold fast. Don't let anybody take. Let no one, let nothing, let no man. That's what that word means. Take your crown. That's your crown. And that crown was the house of David. Crowned a priesthood with the entire government of David. I'm just seeing that there was a correlation between these churches and this white horse that was going to run. That somebody in these churches, and I saw it, and I think I came and told somebody, the church of Philadelphia is the one that's going to ride the white horse. Because he's going to take a church, Zechariah 6 said he was, he's going to take a priesthood, he's going to put him in a king's throne. People, you might as well know this is about to happen. It doesn't matter if you believe it or not, it's still going to happen. He's not just going to put him on a king's throne, he's going to put the house of David on him. The whole government's going to come down. Wow. And I'm thinking, he's going to take Church of Philadelphia. And I said, Church of Philadelphia is the one to go to ride the white horse. I didn't know that there was a correlation in Scripture. I didn't know he gave the church of Philadelphia the crown. And then in chapter 5, he sees the Lord being crowned with 7 eyes and 7 horns. Those are the 2 crowns. The crown of the king priest government was sitting on the Lord. He said, these are the 7 spirits of God. They're going to be released in all the earth. Then he goes into chapter 6. Revelation 6:1, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it was a noise of thunder, one of the 4 beasts saying, come and see. I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow. Ready for this? And a crown was given unto him. Well, anytime you see crown in the whole book of Revelation, crown of crowns, referring to Antichrist, says he had a crown. Never, who gave it to him? Never was it given. God doesn't give Antichrist the crown. God gave that white horse and the rider thereupon the crown. Gave a crown was what? Given. What do you think that crown was? The king, priest, government, the house of David. It was given to the church of Philadelphia. Those two are the same. Church of Philadelphia and the rider of the white horse. Same crown. You see that? Don't let anybody take your crown. You're going to ride this. A crown was given and he went forth conquering to conquer. He went forth conquering to conquer. He went forth conquering because that crown opened the door that no man or no system of the world could shut. The full weight of heaven came down upon that crown. He crowned a priesthood. Isn't that awesome? I know we have a word for this hour. I know we have a word for this very hour, and God's going to crown his church. And that crown is like no other crown. All power in heaven and earth has been given to us, yeah. But it has to be commissioned. You understand? When he commissions all power, he puts a crown. And he commissions it. Zechariah 10, and I'll close. Why do you think he was walking in the midst of his church in the first place? Correcting them. Somebody is going to get the crown. Some corporate group is going to get the crown for the last days. A movement reserved for the last hour. Zechariah 10 verse 3, and the Lord of hosts hath visited his flock, the house of kings, house of Judah, made them his goodly horse in the battle. Verse 6, out of him come forth the nail, and we've got into that already. The final cornerstone, verse 6. I will strengthen the house of Judah. You know what that word strengthen means? And he says, I will save the house of Joseph. And he says, I will bring them again to place them. I'll strengthen the house of Judah, kingly house. I will strengthen the house of Joseph, kingly house. I will bring them again to place them. By this white horse, to place them. Do you know what that word place them means? I will bring them again to sit in their rightful position as heirs. They will sit down on a throne again. I will bring them again to restore them. I'll restore them to the kingly throne. The company of Judah that will ride this white horse happens to be a church. That's going to get not a church. It's a global church that's going to ride a white horse. But before it does, he's going to crown the church with not a, just a crown of a kingly anointing. He's going to crown it with a house of David. And the full weight of the government of David's going to come down upon that church. And this is what's happening in the last days. This is where the church is right now. Be found keeping his word. Amen.